Well, friends, we are just about at the point to be able to start the countdown for the new building. We're not quite there, but we're just about there. We're still being told that we should be in that building in time for our Easter Sunday experience, and so we're really looking for that to be the case. We're hoping so. There may be some finishings that still need to be done at that point. The canopy may not be on the building yet, and there may be some other things. The asphalt probably won't be poured till later in the spring, the asphalt that we'll have. But the word is that we should be in by Easter. Now, you and I both know that that word should isn't something you want to take to the bank. It's not something you may be willing to make a bet on. But since I'm not a betting man anyway, I'm going to move ahead in faith that Easter is going to be it. So this begins the last of our message series is in this facility in this church. We're not officially starting the countdown clock yet, but we are beginning to do what we need to do to prepare for a move. And so that's where we're going. We're also in the season of Lent right now. That begins this week, where we're focusing on Jesus' life and ministry and an examination of the cross. And as we get further into this series, there's going to be a nice correlation between those two things as we're preparing for a move. How many of you moved at some point in your life? Raise your hand if you moved at some point in your life. If most of us have, if we're adults, unless we're still living with our parents, or unless we move them out of the house. How many have moved more than once? How about more than two times? More than five times? Anybody moved 10 times or more than that? 10 or more. There's a few back there that have moved more, a couple over here that have moved more than that. I've moved 9 times in my life that I can recount, that I can recall, which means I've lived in actually not 9 places, but the one I was born into, so 10 different places that I at one time have called home, and I find that pretty crazy. At least 4 or 5 of those were before I was married. But some of them have been entirely different moves to other parts of the state. Well, some of them have been just kind of like moves across town or to a different apartment or a different house. The sad thing is we still have a couple boxes in our basement that are sealed, that are probably from 2 or 3 moves ago, that, inside of one of those boxes is probably some gem we've lost or just a bunch of junk. I'm not sure which. Probably we should just take it right to the dumpster before we open it. If you've moved very often in life, then you know that a lot goes into a move. You don't just decide today I'm moving and next week you're there. And over these next 6 weeks or so, we're going to be relating aspects of moving a home to our preparations of preparing for a move into a new facility. When we talk about moving, it's really pretty important to distinguish the kind of move that we're making, because you prepare differently for different kinds of moves. So the kind of move that we're making really does matter. So let's first talk about 3 kinds of moves, 3 kinds of moves that I can distinguish. One we'll call a temporary move, a temporary move. Moving for a temporary move is often not too difficult of a task. A temporary move might be like when you're going on a vacation condo for 3 or 4 months in Florida. And, the snowbird thing that people do. And those moves aren't so bad because you mostly just leave most of your stuff back at home. You get somebody to check your house every couple days, and you pack your clothes, your fishing gear, your swimsuit, your suntan lotion, and your clothes, and all the things you're going to need for that kind of brief time away for you to enjoy that time. Other temporary moves might be when maybe you're getting some work done on your house and you're getting ready to move into another house, or you're going to sell your house or those kind of things, but you're not really sure where you're putting your roots down quite yet, so you put most of your stuff in storage and then you move back in with mom and dad for a while or something like that, but it's just temporary. You're not planning on staying in that situation. Those are some ideas, examples of temporary kind of moves. They're not usually a great big deal of work, or not a lot of thought always goes into those kind of moves. Here's a second type of move. It's a new residence move. New residence. This is the move where you're basically just packing up everything you have. Everything you have, and you're moving from one residence to another residence. Usually it's across town somewhere. or maybe to a nearby town. It may be across the state, or maybe even further at times. These moves can be the moves that take the most work, because you're essentially packing up everything you got. You're putting it into boxes, and you're sticking it on a truck or on trucks, and you're moving to this new residence, and then you're going to unpack it all there. And the more time that you spend living in the same place, the more you've got to move. It can be a tremendous amount of work to box all that up, and you get blown away by just all the stuff that you've acquired. I know, because that's mostly the kind of moves that have happened in my life. Still, once you get into that new residence and you unpack those boxes, you unpack your things, you get all your old furniture in place, you hang the same old pictures on the wall, and perhaps you've used some of the same old curtains, maybe some of the same old bedding, and but most of all, you get your Lazy Boy placed right in front of the big TV, and you're set to go. You're ready to go, and after a short while, it doesn't feel like things have really changed that much, because the shell is different on the outside, but things are pretty much all the same on the inside, except that perhaps you have a little bit more room than you did, and in some cases maybe less space. That's a new residence move. And it can happen over a couple months or over a couple weekends, depending on your ambition and the amount of help that you have. But then you've got a third type of move, a third kind of move that's a little bit different than those other two, and that's what we're going to call a new start move. A new start. Friends, this has got to be one of the most exciting kind of moves that you can have. It's a move that you sometimes need to wrap your head around, because it's going to require the most change, but once you get your head wrapped around it and you get there, it's just plain exciting. This is the kind of move that places you in a brand new construction where everything's fresh and everything's new. It's like having a blank canvas of another chapter of your life just about to begin. Many of you know our secretary, our administrative assistant in the office, Janet Hickey. Janet and her husband, many of you know that they've been planning for a move like this. After living over 30 years in the same house in Fremont, they're going to build a brand new house in Columbus. And all their children, their grandchildren live in Columbus. Janet and Ben are going to be retiring, so it just makes sense that they want to live there as well. And now they won't be leaving tomorrow, so no one has to panic. But as soon as they can get their house sold, they're getting preparations ready. Soon after that, they'll be following in their move. You know, it has been a lot of fun listening to her excitement. Some of Janet's excitement, and they've been preparing for this move. Over the last year, I've heard how they've been getting their old house ready, painting the walls, getting it ready to sell it. And then I've heard about the purchase of their land in Columbus and the plans of where the house is going to sit and where their kids are located around that. Then I began to hear about the things that they're selling or they're getting rid of, and the new furniture they're getting, the new things they're getting for this new place that's going to be their new home. And you know what? It struck me. Well, of course, most people that I've known who've moved into new constructions and to new builds also have fresh new furnishings, because a lot of their old stuff just doesn't fit in a fresh new scene and a new construction that's entirely different. It's been very exciting to hear Janet's dream of what's coming. And even though we'll be saddened when we see her leave, when that time comes, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for her and Ben to have this new start and this new adventure they'll be a part of. Friends, it's the new start kind of a move that we're preparing for, that we're going to experience when we move from this facility to the one across the road. And I have to tell you that every time that I walk into that new facility at this point and see the next step of the project that's come to completion, I just get a little more excited. When we had the order of 300 chairs arrive and I saw just how nice they are, I got more excited. When the cabinets for the kitchen came in and I saw how many there are and how nice they are, my excitement just leaped forward some more. When I've seen the platform being put up in the last couple weeks and almost coming to completion, I've been able to get a sense of God's presence there and what it's going to be like when we have worship experiences in that place, and my excitement has even grown more. And get this, I happened to be in that building on Friday with Mike, And we were there when they placed up the last piece of drywall in the building. They've put up over 1,400 pieces of drywall in that building. Over 67,000 square feet of drywall. Holy cow. Talk about excitement. We felt it. The man putting up the last piece of drywall felt it. Our job superintendent felt it. I was over there a couple weeks ago, and this guy who put up the last piece of drywall, he said, "I bet you're really getting excited to get in here, aren't you?" I said, "I can't wait." And he said, "Well, we can't wait to get out." I said, "I bet you can't, because they've been there a long time." You see, I'm sensing the same excitement in me that in this new start move that I've seen in Janet and her getting ready for her upcoming move. And God's word says some things to us about this kind of a new start move that we're about to experience. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. But let me set the context up a bit of this text before we read it. This account happens soon after John the Baptist has been moved off the scene from his preaching. John's been put in prison, and his disciples are still out and about. Some of them have been hanging around Jesus to see what he's all about, to try to decide if they're going to follow him, but they're still kind of confused about who he is and what his plan is and what he's doing. So they come to Jesus with a question. It's a question about old things, about some of the traditions that the Jews had been about. And in their tradition, they regularly spent time fasting as a sign of repentance and of an indication of their spiritual discipline. Well, they notice that Jesus and his followers aren't doing this. They haven't been doing this fasting, so they ask him about it. Now, here's the thing. Jesus' response that we're about to look at in no way says that fasting is a bad thing. There's a place for traditions and for old things, and there's certainly a place for spiritual disciplines. We're going to be talking about fasting and praying in just a couple weeks. There's another place in Scripture where the disciples try to cast a demon out of someone, but they're unable to do it, and Jesus says to them that this type of demon only comes out through prayer and fasting. So we know that he still sees this discipline for a reason. But Jesus isn't saying, he's not saying that the discipline of fasting is bad, but what he's saying is you don't just do it to do it. You don't do it because you've always done it. You don't do it just because it's tradition and it doesn't fit everywhere and on every occasion. When you fast and you pray, you do it for a specific cause, specific need, or a specific reason. Jesus' response to them is a response about making a new start move in their lives. With their faith, something new is happening because of him. Always staying in the same old trends and the same old customs can make you become brittle and unable to serve the purpose that God has for you. So let's hear this account in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but you and your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Now let's stop there for a moment. Jesus is telling them that there's a time for fasting, but it should be a time where it really matters, when there's really a reason. Don't just do it because you've always done it. Don't just do it because the Pharisees are doing it. Traditions are designed by humans to apply biblical principles to everyday life, but they're not commands from God. So when they stop doing that, then they're not serving their purpose. They can really be helpful, but they can also stifle us in things that we become that become more important for us to do for what Scripture is revealing for us today. The fasting that the Pharisees and John's disciples were doing here was actually stifling them, not growing them. And what Jesus is saying here in this metaphor, Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And he's saying, when I'm taken from you, you're going to need fasting and praying. Because then you're going to be mourning, and you're going to have a reason for it, and you'll need to do it. Then Jesus goes on to give them two illustrations about a new start move in their faith that are relevant to us today. So let's continue. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So Jesus gives these two illustrations here, friends. I have long arms, and I have long legs. And when I buy a pair of pants or shirt, and I throw them in the washer and the dryer, and they shrink, that drives me crazy. You know what happens when I do that? Here's what happens when I do that. This is what happens. And I get to roll up my sleeves so that my shirt looks like it fits, right? If you take a new, unwashed piece of cloth and you sew it to a pre-shrunk piece of clothing and to patch a hole, and then you throw that clothing into the washer and into the dryer, you're going to have some problems, aren't you? That's what Jesus is saying. You see, Jesus didn't come to patch up old religious garments. He came to offer a new garment, a new day, a new construction of our life and faith, a new start kind of a move. William Barclay says, throughout all its history, the church has clung to the old. What Jesus is saying is that there comes a time when patching things is folly. Or in other words, it doesn't work anymore. And Barclay goes on to say, and the only thing to do is to scrap something entirely to begin again. Barclay is saying some pretty wise words there, isn't he? And then Jesus talks about new wine and wineskins. Wineskins were made from tanned and sometimes skinned animals. And over time, they'd stretch to their limit and lose their elasticity, and eventually they'd become brittle. New wine that's fermenting expands and it'll cause those old wineskins to burst, and the wine pours out all over the ground. And when that happens, both the wine and the wineskin is lost, and it's useless. So these people that Jesus is talking to, they know this. They know this about wine and wineskins. They knew that new wine requires new wineskins. Friends, God's given us new wine across the street. It's new wine. And that new wine requires new wineskins. It's a new canvas that God's given us to paint a whole new set of stories for Old Fort Church. And we get to be a part of it. It's kind of like you wouldn't wear your winter coat in the middle of July, would you, in the middle of the summer? Why? That's crazy. Why would you do that? Because summer isn't the season for coats, right? A new start kind of move brings you into a new season. So when you walk into that church 6 weeks from now, you're going to see new things. You're going to smell new things. You're going to feel new things. It's going to be the start of a whole new experience. So let's spend the rest of our time this morning talking about how do we prepare for this kind of new start kind of a move. It requires five things. The first thing it requires is this. For a new start kind of move, you have to eliminate baggage. You got to eliminate baggage before you get there. When people get ready to do new starts in their homes, what do? They have a new start home move. They'll have garage sales, won't they? They'll take things to the Salvation Army and to Goodwill, and they'll give things away. They eliminate their baggage for what's going to be new. And friends, there are just some things in our lives that we don't want to take along with us if we're starting something new, right? Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 and 24. It says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Who would want to start new and include the shadowy pieces of your life? include the corruption and the deceitful desires of your life. If you have the opportunity to start with a clean, brand new canvas, you don't want to mess that canvas up with the dirt of your lives. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, it continues with this same frame of thought. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live because those who are led by the Spirit are God's sons, are sons of God. I'm having a tumble of my words there. Friends, we have new wine. And we don't want to wrap that wine with the scaly old skin of our sinful nature. It's time for that stuff to die off. It's time to put the misdeeds to death, to live into a fresh new wineskin, with a fresh new wineskin that leads into the adventure that God's calling us to by His Spirit. So what baggage is it that we need to eliminate? There are three kinds. There are some of us that have some spiritual baggage that we need to eliminate before we move to that place. Some of us have to do some business with God. We have some business to do with God in these next 6 weeks. Maybe there's a spiritual hang-up that you're dealing with. Maybe there's a sin that you've allowed to block your connection to God and block your connection to others, and you've not brought that to the cross of Christ. Why would you want to carry that baggage to a new start move? Remember, this is a new, clean canvas. So if there's some spiritual baggage that needs your attention, allow God to help you to let go of it. Second kind of baggage is emotional baggage. Some of us are wrestling with emotional baggage. Maybe you've had some bad relationships, maybe within this church body. Maybe your place in life right now has you in an emotionally frail place. Maybe you've gone through a tough breakup. Maybe you're wearied of the same old in your life. You might be struggling with depression or anger, or sadness, or disgust, or fear of some kind in your life. Don't bring that baggage along with you to a new start move. Remember, this is also the Lenten season where we examine the cross, so leave that baggage at the cross of Christ. Third is physical baggage. This is a physical move as well, isn't it? We're physically moving from one facility to another. That thought might excite you like crazy, but it also might be one that some of us have to get our heads wrapped around. And remember, this is a new start move. People rarely build brand new construction houses and then put their old tired furnishings in it. Most of the things in this place are not coming with us to this new facility. It's a fresh canvas. And we'll be unpacking some of those things a bit more in the weeks that lie ahead. But eliminating baggage is the first thing we need to do. We need to do to prepare for a new start move. And we'll be getting into more of that in the weeks that lie ahead as we work through that in the next 6 weeks. The second requirement is this. We have to focus on the essentials. Focus on the essentials. Do you know that the only thing that's absolutely essential to this move? Do you know what it is? I mean, absolutely essential. It's really simple. The only things absolutely essential is our mission, our purpose, and our goal. That's all that's essential. Our mission, bringing people to Jesus. We have to absolutely be focused on bringing people to Jesus. The right flooring doesn't matter. The right cabinets don't matter. The paint colors, the lighting, the sound being just right, none of that matters unless we're absolutely focused on bringing people to Jesus, because that is primary. That's the essential reason for this facility. It's bringing people to Jesus. That's the main reason why we're doing it. There are other things we talk about, handicap accessibility, all those things go with it, but the main reason is bringing people to Jesus. It's essential. Our purpose, we use the acronym FEAST, Fellowship, Evangelism, Adoration, Servanthood, and Teaching. That needs to be part of our focus and our move. What do we need to do with this new facility to do all of those five things better? The truth is that facility is a tool that's going to help us grow in all five of those areas. Our goal, becoming and making fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This is absolutely essential to our focus and our move. If we miss the focus of becoming and we lose the focus of making disciples, you know what? We've lost it all. And all we've built is a big social club across the street, and we might as well stay put. Hear what Jesus sent with his disciples when he sent them out and called them to a new start mission. They'd never done it before. And hear what he equipped them with. It's very little, actually. In Mark chapter 6, the second part of verse 6 through verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts." Golly, they didn't even pack the kitchen or bring the offering plates, friends. He says, "Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic." Let me translate that for you. That means the pastor gets to wear sandals and doesn't have to wear a robe. That's what that means. I'm liking this move all the better. It goes on. "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." When Jesus sent his disciples to a new start mission, it was all very basic. Take yourselves and whatever's on your backs. Because all the stuff doesn't matter. Jesus didn't care about any stuff. Scripture says he didn't even have a place to lay his head at night. In early Methodism, John Wesley had these guys that he would send out on horseback to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They called them circuit riders. And they called them circuit riders because they were given a certain circuit to ride on and go from place to place to talk about the gospel message of Christ. I read somewhere that most of these men didn't live beyond like the age 33 because their task was so hard. And do you know what they took with them? They took only what they could carry in their saddlebags and three essential items that were given to them: a Bible, a book of hymns, and a prayer journal. A Bible, a book of hymns, and a prayer journal. And friends, the truth is that we don't need any more than that ourselves. We need God's Word. We need songs to worship our amazing God. And we need a heart that's focused on prayer. That's what's essential. That's what's essential. Here's the third thing required preparing for a new start move. We need to cherish the tremendous gift. Cherish the tremendous gift. You do realize what a gift this is, don't you? I mean, really? You realize what a gift this is, don't you? God has found us faithful enough to allow us to build a new church for the sake of other people knowing him. Very few people get to do this. There are growing churches across our country, but there are many, many, many more of those churches that are dying churches, ones that are struggling to keep their doors open. But for some reason, God's allowed Old Fort Church to thrive and to build. Why? Because God has found Old Fort Church faithful in a few things, so now he's allowing us to be faithful in many things. Do you know that King David of the Bible, man after God's own heart, King David of all people, he wanted to build a house for God, but God told him no. And David never did build a house for God. It was Solomon who came and built the temple. Not even David got to do this. Cherish this tremendous gift, friends. And don't you ever take it for granted. Don't you ever take it for granted. Here's the fourth thing required for a new start move. Acknowledge the memories, but live into the vision. Acknowledge the memories, but live into the vision. You know, over the next several weeks, I hope that we remember and celebrate many wonderful memories that have happened in this place. Memories are part of what makes us who we are, right? We want to acknowledge them because they're important for that reason, but you can't live in your memories. You can't live in memory. Some people try to, but you can't. Not if you want to move forward in life. People who are always trying to live in the memories slowly die. That's what happens. So we want to acknowledge the memories, but we want to live into God's vision for his church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, the disciples are being accused of having too much wine. They've been talking to all the people about the gospel message of Jesus, and they're able to speak in each person's tongue that's there. And the people think, well, they've just had too much wine. They're drunk. So Peter speaks back to them, and he quotes the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And this is what he says. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Young and old, friends. Young and old. Seeing visions and dreaming dreams. So let's live into those visions, into those dreams that God has for us, which leads us into our last requirement, the fifth. We need to understand that God's way is always forward. God's way is always forward. Hear Paul as he writes to Christ's followers in the Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. No looking back. Forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, moving forward, pressing on toward the goal. God's way is always forward ho! Forward ho! So as we pack up for this new start move, we'll get the new wineskins ready and we'll move forward with God. Let's pray together. Dear God, what a blessing to be called yours. What a blessing to belong to you. What a blessing to be in the part of a movement of God. And God, I want to come to you with just great thanksgiving today that you've allowed me to be a part of it, that you've allowed my family to be a part of it, that you've allowed each person in this church to be a part of what you're doing. It is a blessing. It is a gift that we shall not take for granted. We are so thrilled, God, to be a part of what you're doing, to move with your spirit when your spirit says move. And now we ask, God, in this week and in the weeks that lie ahead, as we get ready for that move, that you would prepare us. Help us to deal with what we need to deal with. Get our hearts ready. Get our minds ready, our souls, our strength, and our spirit, so that we are ready, God, to move with you. Prepare us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. That song reminds me of a time in our building campaign when I talked about at one point that we're not building a church, we're building a lighthouse. A lighthouse that's going to be able to be seen so that people can know Jesus all around this region. Those who are unsafe in the waters can find a place where it's safe, where they can come to shore. So what a great song. I know it's God's our lighthouse, and through God, we get to be a lighthouse to others. So let's ask God to be preparing us. My call for you right now is, if you've not done it already, to make sure that you're in prayer over these next 6 weeks. In a couple weeks, I'm going to call you more stringently to that, but begin already praying for God's preparation for you and others around you, so that when we move, it'll just be a glorious thing for him. Amen?